This is Radio Superior 1957. Production of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s.
Come, let's stroll, stroll across the floor.
This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Now turn around, baby. Let's go.
Hey, you guys, dolls, cats, and kittens, Tim Michaels here, rocking your world. It's a radioactive Thursday, September 5th, 1957. Dennis Anderson has the 6 o'clock news. 3 days, and 9 Negro kids still are not allowed in school at Little Rock High. Boy, the Big T doesn't get that at all. The Farm Guy's in with the Farm Report. Funny how that works. And, drum roll, please. Chief Joe is on the scene with Toll TV.
Bongo drums make for a lousy drum roll.
But it's cooler. All right, how about this?
No, 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 no. Too fancy schmancy. How about just a good old-fashioned drum roll? Much better. Nah, you'd better not stiff me this time, bub.
No way, man. I want to find out how to bring Marilyn Monroe into my pad, daddy-o. Gambles is picking up the tap of the 6 o'clock news. Craziness. Gambles has the 1958 Hiawatha Silver Chief bike in stock. Even though it's 1957, with eye-catching features, flying disc hubs, handlebar streamers, chrome fenders, and more for just $46.88. Always better buys at Gamble's, the friendly stores. It's all yours, Denny-o.
Thanks, Tim, and good evening, everyone. Little Rock school tension rises, a revolt breaks out in Cuba, and Superior State teachers call college president dictatorial. We begin our world report from Arkansas.
This is Bill Cortez in Little Rock. The largest, noisiest crowd thus far milled around Central High School today, but the 9 Negro students seeking admission stayed away from the explosive scene on the advice of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. The ever-changing racial picture took a new turn in the past 12 hours. Governor Orville Faubus charged that the federal government was plotting to arrest him. President Eisenhower, now vacationing in Newport, Rhode Island, says Faubus's allegation is not correct. White House Press Secretary James Hagerty says, quote, "There has been no discussion in Little Rock or Washington or anywhere else concerning an arrest of the governor," unquote. 270 armed National Guardsmen under the command of Governor Faubus and not military authorities have been on the campus since Monday. As the governor's message was on its way to Eisenhower, Mayor Woodrow Mann of Little Rock is accusing Faubus of creating tensions where none existed in calling out the National Guard to prevent integration. Faubus has defied U.S. District Judge Ronald Davies' order for integration of 9 Negroes amongst 2,000 white students at the high school. When the Negroes tried to get in yesterday morning, guardsmen refused them admittance. Faubus told the president that if his authority as governor to maintain the peace was breached, he could not be responsible for the results. This week, 23 Negro students entered a previously all-white high school at Van Buren in northwestern Arkansas, and across the Arkansas River in Fort Smith, a Negro first grader began classes with white pupils without incident. Also, school desegregation has been accomplished at Charleston, Fayetteville, and Hoxie, Arkansas. At Hoxie, segregationists opposed the move, but the opposition was only in court battles. There was no violence. In Washington last night, Attorney General Herbert Brownell directed the FBI to gather facts on blocking integration in Little Rock. The agents will report to Judge Davies. In Little Rock, Arkansas, this is Bill Cortez, INS.
This is James Marlowe, Associated Press in Washington. Someone has to back down on this one, President Eisenhower or Arkansas Governor Orville Faubus. If Faubus gets away with what he's doing, using National Guardsmen to keep Negroes from a school ordered integrated by a federal judge, every Southern governor will feel free to do the same. This would make a farce of the Supreme Court ban on public school segregation in Brown versus the Board of Education. It would mean a breakdown of federal government power to carry out the law. But since the 1954 ruling, Eisenhower has treated Southern resistance with patience and platitudes. It seems likely he could go on doing that, since he's on a long vacation. Governor Faubus would have been cooperating if he had used the troops to prevent any interference with the Negro children who wanted to go to school. Instead, he used the troops to bar the children, who were neither disturbing the peace nor creating disorder. Eisenhower is letting the judge and Attorney General Brownell handle this, but ultimate responsibility for whatever is done rests on Eisenhower. Faubus is the first Southern governor to try this. If he wasn't willing to see it through, he'd look ridiculous, simply creating a national disturbance needlessly. If Faubus stands firm and the judge wants to bring him to court to face contempt charges, what happens? The governor has stationed National Guardsmen around his mansion, and U.S. Marshals could hardly force him to face the judge if he doesn't want to. It isn't clear what Eisenhower's next step would be. It's possible he'd order the National Guardsmen into federal service to take control of them away from Faubus. The Guardsmen are paid by the federal government for drills and summer training, but they are paid by the state government, as they are now, when the governor calls them out to handle a situation within the state. In Washington, this is James Marlowe, Associated Press.
This is John Popham in Levittown, Pennsylvania. Emotions have simmered down. The restless pushing, arrests, and violent crowds are only a memory. Police make the rounds of routine patrol. State police on emergency duty for about 2 weeks have gone. The men come and go to their jobs as usual, their wives shop. Such is Levittown, and specifically its Dogwood Hollow section, 3 weeks after the first Negro family moved into the all-white housing development of 15,000 homes and nearly 80,000 people. Outwardly, Dogwood Hollow seems pretty much as it was before William and Daisy Myers came with their three children and settled down in a pink ranch-style home Myers bought for a little more than $12,000. Myers and his family and friends move about without molestation. Some in the neighborhood have accepted the family cordially, some grudgingly. Others say they had to yield unwillingly in order to prevent more violence. On that alone, the visitor is told again and again there is unanimity, a determination there will be no further rough stuff. The mid-August move of the Myers family touched off 8 straight nights of noisy demonstrations with crowds of more than 400 milling about each night. 11 persons were arrested. In Levittown, Pennsylvania, this is John Popham, Associated Press.
This is Gilman Halstead in Havana. A revolt backed by some naval units erupted in Cienfuegos today, and the government rushed troops and tanks into that central Cuban city after rebels seized the police headquarters in fierce fighting. In the rebel forces were some naval police units and followers of Fidel Castro, rebel chief. Cuban Navy men, estimated at about 50, joined a number of rebel partisans of Castro in attacking the national police headquarters. The police resisted. Supporters of Castro are said to be thronging the streets of Cienfuegos, shouting, quote, President Batista has fallen, and, quote, government has been taken over by military, junta headed by Castro's men. Reports from Cienfuegos say police chief commander Antonio Beltran refused to surrender. Beltran later was seized by the rebels and his headquarters surrounded. In Havana, this is Gilman Halstead.
This is Stan Turner in Bonn, West Germany. West Germans will vote September 15th in free elections for just the second time since Hitler seized power in 1933. The Bundestag elections will mark another step in the democratic development of the Bonn Federal Republic. Moscow recognized the importance of the occasion by dispatching Nikita Khrushchev to warn Bonn citizens that Chancellor Konrad Adenauer's re-election would impede Germany's reunification. But even Russia's threats of a nuclear war made little impression on the anti-communist West German man in the street, and still less on the two major parties. The Christian Democratic Party and the opposition Social Democrats consider any Soviet support as an electoral kiss of death. With the West German rump state riding a wave of prosperity, it is personality. 81-year-old Adenauer versus 56-year-old socialist Erich Ohlenauer, rather than domestic or foreign issues that will decide this election. 12 years after Hitler's defeat, West Germany has emerged from the abyss of war to assume a dominant, if not the dominant, place in non-communist Europe. With growing unrest in the satellites, the Kremlin fears the dangerous attraction which an anti-communist democratic regime in Bonn would exert on the rest of people behind the Iron Curtain. In Bonn, this is Stan Turner, United Press.
James Hoffa, heir apparent to lead the Teamsters Union, denied to the AFL-CIO Ethical Practices Committee today that corruption charges made against him by the Senate Racketeering Investigating Committee. The new Asian flu vaccine will be allocated to the states according to population. The Public Health Service says each state will get its fair share of the vaccine. The Health Service endorsed a proposal that states and communities set up advisory committees to recommend what groups should get first inoculations of the still scarce vaccine. Presumably, these would include doctors, nurses, police, firemen, and others needed for essential services. Surgeon General Leroy Burney says manufacturers expect to produce 85 million doses of flu vaccine by January 1st. So far, a total of 2.6 million doses have been released. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Tim Michaels has this word from Gamble's Department Store.
Hey, Gamble's is having a big final clearance going on right now, and they have got the beautiful Hiawatha Silver Chief Bike 1958 model, and it has all the features. And listen to this price. The normal price, $65, $46.88. $4.70 down, only $1.25 per week, and you can make monthly payments, even less when you trade. Outstanding styling, exciting new features, easy to own, bigger trade-ins, easy term. It's a bike that commands attention because it sparkles with class and eye-catching features. If you're looking for the streamlined look, here it is. Flying disc hubs, handlebars, streamers, swept-back chain guard, chrome, fenders, and more. Featured only at Gamble's. Plus, many, many other buys with savings up to 50%. That's Gamble's in downtown Superior. Denny?
A Superior State Teachers College professor has resigned in protest while his colleagues circulate a petition. KUWS Radio Newsman Mike Simonson has the latest.
There's a lot of anger against Superior State President Jim Dan Hill this evening. Following a meeting last night of the Academic Freedom Committee, a statement was given today by Committee Secretary Mrs. Clayton Bowden. Quote, "It has never been the purpose of the Citizens Committee to publicize the situation at Superior State College. This committee has only hoped to restore freedom of speech and expression, tenure rights, and democratic procedure to a college faculty stifled and intimidated by the dictatorial policy of President Jim Dan Hill. With the announcement of Dr. Edgar Briggs' resignation from the college faculty, members of the community are sick at heart to lose so outstanding a physicist and teacher from our college and so fine a man from our community. Yet he is only one of many who have suffered the axe wielding by the college president. How many faculty members must we lose before Dr. Hill is able to surround himself completely with a staff of yes-men so necessary to a successful administration of a dictatorial policy?" End quote. Dr. Briggs testified against President Hill at a Board of State College Regents meeting looking into administrative practices at Superior State. He was then denied a pay raise by Dr. Hill as a disciplinary measure, Denny.
20 cases of polio, 13 of them in Milwaukee County, were reported to the State Board of Health last month. The total reported cases for the year stands at 163, compared with 230 in the same period of 1956. Many of the victims have not been given the Salk vaccine. That vaccine began nationwide distribution last year after its approval in 1955. And that's the 6 o'clock news. Good night, everybody, and be kind.
Okay, I will. Just don't boom me like that again.
Who do you think I am, Moses? I didn't do that.
I think my fillings fell out. Okay, cats and kittens, you all heard it live on the radio, a mystery bang. Did someone forget to sacrifice a virgin to the volcano this month?
All complaints about that remark should be directed to Tim Michaels, KUWS Radio, Superior, Wisconsin.
Yeah, wow, baby, I'm all shook up. Thank you very much. Now the weatherman speaketh for this Thursday, September 5th, 1957. Clear skies, perfect for celestial booms. With a low at 40, Mr. Sunshine returns tomorrow with a sweet 70 degrees. In honor of Mr. Boom, Mr. Mystery Boom, here's Jerry Lee Lewis and Great Balls of Fire on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, Great Balls of Fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and woo, now honey. I changed my mind. till the wreck is just great balls of fire. Kiss the baby. Feels good. Hold me, baby. Well, I want to love you like I love a shoe. You're fine. So kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine. I'm real nervous, but it sure is fun. Come on, baby. It drives me crazy. And this rock is just great balls of fire.
Smoking with his latest Great Balls of Fire on Kickin' KUWS. I'm still in orbit from that big boom. Gerzik Meats and Groceries is out of this world, too, with choice beef roast going for 49 cents a pound, T-bone 69 cents a pound, and potato sausage just 7 nickels a pound. You do the math. It all adds up at Gerzik Meats and Groceries, 724 Tower Avenue. Dial 43631 for free delivery. Well, the farm guy is next.
I'm waiting, and I will not be denied.
And maybe ask Bertie about that big bang we heard.
I've got some theories, but first I need to call Freddie down at the State College to see if he's been doing any physics experiments that may have gone awry.
Good point. Or the explosion could have come from Jim Dan Hill's office. It's happened right after the Simonson story.
An explosive temper, eh?
President Hill served in the Battle of the Bulge, and he was military governor of a German city after the war. He's tough.
So, the daddy-o's a lonely boy. I just got the plotter new from Clarence Frogman Henry. Ain't got no home on the Tim Michaels bang-up dance party.
Ooh, ain't got no home on no place to roam. Ain't got no home on no place to roam. I'm a lonely boy. I ain't got a home. I got a voice, I love to sing. I sing like a girl, and I sing like a frog. I'm a lonely boy, I ain't got a home. Thank you.
New Orleans' latest gift to rock and roll, Clarence Frogman Henry. Ain't got no home on Kicking KUWS. What do you think, Denny?
A little weirder than your usual fare, but Frogman is fun. Too bad about not having a home, though.
Putting out songs like that, he's going to have a big froggy lily pad pretty soon.
It's a little unnerving for me. First he's a lonely boy, then a lonely girl, then a lonely frog. Some pretty interesting mutating going on there.
Of course, you do know that frogs can change their gender.
Probably one of those atomic fallout things.
Atomic fallout doesn't really make Godzillas and giant ants. And don't you know the chance you're taking talking like this about subjects like these?
You mean lonely frogs changing sex and atomic fallout?
Now you've really done it, boy. Now you've done it.
Colonel Raffley is on line one for you, Tim.
Hey, what's shaking and baking, Colonel?
You have the strangest, weirdest, most disturbing radio show I have ever heard. That is all.
Thank you, Colonel, our favorite colonel and biggest listener.
Yeah, well, I only listen because I have to. It's an assignment from the Red Channel to monitor Pinko Talk and stations that play the devil's music. That is really all. Wait a second. Did you put me on the air? Would you please turn up the radio, Sweetums Pie? Thanks, Bunny Rabbit. Hey, I'm on the air.
Bunny Rabbit?
Sweetums Pie?
Let's hope he's at home with his wife.
Is that loud enough, Romeo?
Romeo?
They're simply terms of affection. That is really, I mean, really all. Dismissed. Now, and, well, anyway, your show is really weird.
Nice when Romeo makes it weirder.
Now, KUWS Chief Engineer Joe Gardonio about the advent of toll television.
Finally, and thank you, Dennis.
I thought the farm guy was supposed to be on now.
And thanks for the fin, Joe.
I'm talking about toll TV. It's already happening. 330 families in Bartlesville, Oklahoma today will begin to see movies, the latest from Hollywood, through their local movie theaters in their own home on their own TV sets. The telemovies, or TM we like to call it, could be the salvation of toll TV. TM is piped into the homes with coaxial cable. Video Independent Theaters Company is hoping to have 1,000 subscribers within a year in Bartlesville.
So instead of going to the Tower Theater to see a cool flick like The Beast of Hollow Mountain or Shrieks in the Night with Death on a Slab at the Beacon, I can sit home with The Beasts and Shriek?
You can do whatever it is DJs do in the privacy of their own home. But yes, that's how it works.
Death on a Slab?
And movie producers like it, too, because it'll increase their market, which TV has taken a pretty big bite out of.
I don't suppose theater owners are too crazy about toll TV.
Theaters should just go back to their vaudevillian roots. I predict that would be a big hit. Mom loves vaudeville.
It costs 25 cents to see a movie. What will it cost for toll TV?
$3.50 a month per television set. And the popcorn would cost a lot less. I predict every home and office will have a toll TV in 2 or 3 years, no later than 1960.
But you predicted an air conditioning machine in every home by 1960.
And flying wheels by 1960.
1960 will be a very good year. And we engineers have decided that we will have a man on the moon by 1970. Think of it, a moon colony before you know it. Then Mars by 1975. Neptune, Saturn, Uranus, Pluto, and voila! Intergalactic travel at the speed of light by 1980 or so.
Farm Guy is standing by right after this KUWS Chicks Twin Spin. From Spanish Harlem, New York, here are the Bob Epps and Mr. Lee on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
1, 2, 3, hey! Look at me. Uh-huh.
From Checker Records, this is a KUWS Twin Spin. Here come my favorite group of gals, the Toon Weavers. And this is Happy, Happy Birthday, Baby on KUWS.
Happy, happy birthday, baby. Although you with somebody new, thought I'd drop a line to say that I wish this happy day would find me beside you. Happy, happy birthday, baby. No, I can't call you my baby. Seems like years ago we met on a day I can't forget, 'cause that's when we fell in love. Do you remember the names we had for each other? I was your pretty, you were my baby. How could we say goodbye? Hope I didn't spoil your birthday.
The Toon Weavers ending an all-girl twin spin on Kickin' KUWS. It hit number 5 on the 1957 Hot 100 this year.
We now go to the Morris Fagerstrom Farm in the town of Lakeside, where agricultural agent Claude Bertie Ebeling is standing by. Good afternoon, Bertie.
It's ewe and ram day here at the Fagerstrom Farm, where several farmers put their best ewe forward, but I'm watching out for the rams. They're fine livestock, but pretty rammy, if you know what I mean. But that's what you get when you have uncastrated male sheep.
Ew!
I'm getting to that, Tim. The ewe, or lambs, are on display. Dick Vilstrup and Bob Moore of the Central Livestock Association will grade lambs who are ready for market. Now you've got your western ewe, that is the most popular, but your southern ewe is also gaining momentum on the sheep farm. Apparently they're cheaper to raise since you just have to feed them grits. That's ag humor.
Ew!
That brings us to the grain harvest. It's just about complete in Douglas County, but there is a shortage of combines in some communities delaying the harvest. Charles Olson and Wilmer Carlson report that rye did well this year. That's exciting news because you never know how that darned old rye is going to turn out.
Darned old rye? You don't know what rye is, do you?
J.D. Salinger wrote a cool book about it.
Ooh, different kind of rye, Tim. This is a darker, meatier grain. You can make bread and biscuits.
The only thing I put in the oven are TV dinners, baby.
Righty-o. Wilmer Carlson got 40 bushels to the acre this fall. That's a lot of nutrients per acre. Way to go, Wilmer. And lastly, here on You and Ram Day, we can give a nod to our friend Mr. Cow. We can be proud of the quality of dairy products produced in Upper Wisconsin. Why, just last month at the Tri-State Fair, people with the Royal American Shows said our milk and butter was the best they had on their tour. How's that for an endorsement? Arnold Peterson reports they left with a week's supply of milk, 60 pounds of butter, and several of the show people came in to get 5-pound bricks of nippy cheddar cheese.
Nippy?
Might have meant nifty or pippy. Arnold is trying to be a hep cat these days. Not easy to do when you're on an isolated farm. Words kind of form in your head, and after a while, you speak your own language, talking to yourself. Farming can be a lonely business, Tim.
Sounds rock and roll to me, but kind of kooky. I dig the lingo.
Well, that's it from you and Ram Day here on the Morris Fagerstrom Farm, where they've been the most gracious hosts with the most well-behaved rams I've ever seen. And believe me, I've had some ram run-ins, Tim and Dennis.
Clyde, call me Bertie Ebling, Assistant Douglas County Farm Agent, with a nippy, 50, nippy... I think I herniated my tongue. Nifty Pippy report.
By the by, I heard that big explosion, too. At first, I assumed it was a fertilizer storage tank with too many fresh cow pies. You know how explosive that methane can be. But the sound came from the sky. It was rather frightening. Nearly spoiled you and Ram Day.
We'll get to the bottom of the big boom next, cats and kittens. But first, let's rock and roll with the Coasters and Young Blood on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
I saw her standing on the corner.
Look at there.
Look at there.
Young blood. Young blood. Tell me why. Young blood. I can't get you out of my mind. I took one look and I was fractured. I tried to walk but I was lame.
What's your name?
What's your name?
Young blood. Young blood. Young blood. I can't get you out of my mind.
What crazy stuff. She looked so tough. I had to follow her all the way home. Then things went bad. Met her dad, he said,
you better leave my daughter alone.
Well, I couldn't sleep a wink for trying. I saw the rising of the sun. And all night long my heart was crying. Why, you're the one.
You're the one.
You're the one.
You're the one.
Looky there, the Coasters in Young Blood on Kickin' KUWS. Now, about that big boomer we heard after Denny's news.
I've assembled a panel of experts with differing viewpoints about said big boomer experienced early in this program. Fortunately, we are always recording whenever Tim is on.
That's a blast, man. Cool.
We hope having proof of what you actually say will avert lawsuits, unless it can be used against us, and then we erase said recording.
Not cool. That kind of frosts me.
So now I'll play back that moment when you so coolly handled the big boomer.
And that's the 6 o'clock news. Good night, everybody, and be kind.
Okay, hey, okay, I will. Just don't boom me like that again.
Who do you think I am, Moses? I didn't do that.
I think my fillings fell out.
Sounds like you blew your top.
Did not.
We've already heard from the farm guy who first suspected but later rejected the exploding cow poop theory because the sound originated from the sky. Next, we'll go to the phones and hear from a civil defense official of Douglas County. Good evening, Colonel Joseph Raffoli. What are your thoughts?
Well, pretty simple. The Ruskies misfired one of their new ICBMs and probably blew up Chicago. And we heard the boom even though we are 400 miles away.
Huh. You still have your radio up too loud and we're getting echoey feedback.
No radio here. I'm in my bomb shelter. I'll have to work on the acoustics of this place. I can make a foam meter, too. Maybe some window dressing.
Yeah, you might want to talk to Juliet there, Romeo. Comfort is important in a good fallout shelter. Next, several callers have expressed the theory that the bang was Tim's car exploding again, but we've ruled that out since he was here all the time. Which leaves me and my fellow engineers, whom I have consulted during rock and roll music playing, And that's no easy feat, I can tell you, trying to concentrate with rock and roll music playing. We are convinced that this boom was from extraterrestrial spacemen, probably from Mars, because you can't ignore the evidence in the movie War of the Worlds arriving with a bang. Aliens tend to do that, I'm
told. They are such bad actors.
Or it came from a new jet aircraft at the Duluth Air Base.
That's just crazy talk. Jets don't go boom unless, of course, they break the sound barrier.
The noisy scare we heard over the Twin Ports was indeed a new jet plane from the airbase. A spokesman for the 173rd Fighter Interceptor Group says the explosion-like noise was from that aircraft.
Better than the cow poop theory. Time to cut out cats and kittens. Tune in to WDSM-TV weekday afternoons for Modern Romance at 4, then Jack McKenna as Captain Q at 4:30, and Jim Bowie at 5. We'll be back same time, same dog pound, the good Lord willing, and the Martians have mercy on us. For Denny Anderson and the gang, this is Tim Michaels rocking your world.
Say, the colonel's in his shelter, tucked away nice and snug, thinking he's riding out a wave of nuclear fallout without a radio.
We'd better call him, otherwise he could be down there for days.
Maybe weeks if we play our cards right.
Oh, hey, let's hope so.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1957, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Your players are Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, John Munson, Paul Guggenheimer, Brian Matuzak, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1957 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow. Thanks for listening.
Oh, my, my.
Thanks, Bunny Rabbit. Hey, I'm on the air.
Bunny Rabbit?
Sweetums pie.
Let's hope he's at home with his wife.
Is that loud enough, Romeo?
Is that loud enough, Romeo?
Ooh, daddy like.